The classic theme in Parashat Shlach is the Shlach, the sending of the Meraglim, the sending of the spies, the unfortunate consequence that occurred because of it, Klal Yisrael being in the desert for 40 years. We know of the 12 spies, 2 spies were able to maintain their stalwart ability to have Emunah Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was Kaleb ben Yefune from the tribe of Yehuda, and Yoshua ben Nun from the tribe of Ephraim. When we have the beginning in source number 1, the beginning of the parasha, the list of the Shvatim, at the end of the list, the Chumash tells us in verse 16, Pasuk Tetvav, these are the names of the men whom Moshe sent to spy out the land. Moshe called Hoshea, son of Nun, Yehoshua. Why did he change his name? So Chazal tells us the following, Rashi, source number 2, Moshe added the letter Yud to Hoshea's name so that his name would begin with the letters of Hashem's name, Ka, Yud-Ke. The Hebrew name Yehoshua means God save, or God will save, which signifies that Moshe prayed, may Hashem save you from the conspiracy of the spies. Ka Yoshiacha Matzat Miraglim. We've spoken about this idea of what the Yud-K is about and changing the name and all of its significance. We've done that in the past, but I'd like to focus in on Mirza Hashem today, albeit some of the ideas will overlap, but from a whole different perspective, is one Medrash. The Medrash is found in source number 3. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, this is the Medrash in Breishit Rabbah, Yud Shenatal Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarai. Sarai, whose name was changed from Sarai, the sin, Reish Yud, to Sarah, to the letter He. So the Yud was taken out, and a He was placed instead. So Nechlach Chasev Lot Sarah v'Chasev L'Abraham. So one opinion is, what happened to the Yud? It split. 10 split into 2 is 5 and 5, He and He. He was given to Sarah, now from Sarai to Sarah. And the He was added to Avram's name, from Avram to Avraham. Amar Shem ben Yochan. Yud shenatal l'Kadosh Baruch Hu m'Sarai hayat tas u'pareach l'fnei kisosh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very fascinating imagery. Rashbi says that the Yud from Sarai Menu was like floating in front of the Kisei HaKavod for years. Instead, Amar l'fanat, Ribono shel Olam b'shvil shanik tana shabot yod ha'tzatani m'Sarai tzadeket. Just because I'm a tiny letter, you took me out of this great tzadeket's name? Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lishavar Hayita Mishma Shal Nekeva Ubitsofan Shal Otiyo. Originally, you were the last letter of a female. Achshav, now, Ani Notna, Notcha Bishmo Shal Zachar. I'm going to put you in a male. Ubirosham Shal Otiyo. And I'm going to put you at the head of the name. Shine Amar Vaikra Moshe Loshea Binun Yehoshua. So, Sarich Lavin, Asatali Chaim. Sarich Lavin, et hakesher ben Sarai leYoshua, veMashmut hosafat hayud leYoshua. What's the connection between Sarah and Yoshua? Why the letter Dafka Yud was added? Halo vaday ein ze mikre sha'od Yud shel Sarai overed leYoshua. It's not by accident, notzach alban, that the letter Yud is taken from Sarah to Yoshua. It's not just, oh, let's find a Yud, let's put it somewhere. As we've already seen this year, we've spoken about this a number of times, this theme. Parshat Shemot, we spoke about the importance of names. Then we spoke about in Parshat Bechukosai, the Vav of Yaakov being a full name, Eliyahu being a partial name, how the Vav is so indicative. When we're talking about letters and names, we're talking about major, major fundamental concepts here. Chachamim, so im yud ze kokach dola, lama itzol sarai tzarech lachlif ota behei. And if yud is so important, why was it changed to a hey by Sarai Imenu? All of these we have to try to understand. And why specifically this yud was given to Yoshua. That's going to be our megamah. That's going to be our focus for today, to try to understand this medrash. This poor yud is floating around. Hello, where am I ever going to land? Right? I mean, nowhere's land. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, I'll put you by Yoshua. What's pshat here? What's the connection? Before we take a look at Mirza Hashem at 3 levels, 3 understandings will give us a deeper understanding not only into the relationship between the two, but also into the story of the Meraglim a little bit deeper, and obviously our goal to be a little bit deeper into our own lives, sanctified and safeguarded. I'd just like to make mention of 2 ha'aros, 2 small points, no point is small, of interest before we get into our three levels. The first is brought down in the numbers form. Here is quoted in Tosefet Bracha in source number 4. And he notes, Ki afal pi shetayud matza Moshe makor lo sif ahuna nosaf l'shem Hoshea, aval efa matza lo sifo nikudot, ki ayud b'shem Sarah yavo b'lo nikud klal, v'ayud b'shem Yoshua ba minikud b'shva. So we know, he says, that this is the Baal Tartuma of Baruch HaLevi Epstein. He says, we know that not only was the Yud transferred, but you have to deal with the Nekudos. You have to deal with the vowels underneath. So when you take a look at the name Yehoshua, Yehoshua has a Shva, has two dots underneath. Well, Sarai, the Yud by Sarai was at the end of the word. There was no vocalization underneath. So where does Moshe Rabbeinu have the right? Okay, I understand he took the letter from the Yud, from Sarai, but where does he have the right to add the Shva, the two dots underneath? Where is he getting that from? So notes of Tosefet Bracha, that's why he's called Yehoshua bin Nun. Normally Ben, say that somebody's Kalev Ben Yefuneh, Ben has a Segol, has three dots. Bin, Yehoshua bin Nun, has only a chirik, has only one dot. What happened to the other two dots? Those two dots went to the Yud. And that's why he's called Yehoshua bin Nun. Who else do you know is called Bin? Right? Everyone's Ben. Bin is Ben. Why is he called Bin? One dot and not three dots. Because the two dots, the Shva, went to under the Yud. And now, instead of being a Segol, it's a chirik. That's a very fascinating understanding why Yeshua is called Yeshua bin Nun, in order to facilitate the Shva under the Yod. The second nekuda I want to make mention of, which is also fascinating, everything is, in my humble opinion, is an idea that the Mishchat Shemen brings down, as well as others far, but we'll do it inside the Mishchat Shemen. Yadua ma'aseh na'eshi rab echad mekilot Yisrael. This is an interesting story that happened in one of the shuls in the small shtetl. It was the time of the Arvei Nachal, the Baal Arvei Nachal, Big Talmid Chacham, and here was the case that was brought before him. It was a tiny shul, and the population grew. So what did the Gabayim do? They added a row in the front of the shul, like they added a row right before the Aron Kodesh, made it a little bit more tzafuf, a little bit more crowded, and they added a row in the back. So now we have two extra rows, we can add people. Well, the people who were sitting in the front row, right, the front row is like mechubedek, it's honorable, they started screaming, hey, we were right in front of the Aron Kodesh, we were right in front of the Mizrach wall, now we're in the second row, you can't move us like that, this is our Makom Kavua, you've now almost ousted us from our original seat. Instead of being in the front row, we're now in the second row. And they complained that the Gabayim had no right to do this. So they went to the Arvei Nachal, and he brought our Medrash as a proof. He says, here, the Yod came in the front of Hoshea's name. Now he's called Yehoshua. But we never see in the Medrash that the Hay complained. The Hay never said, hey, I was the front letter, now I'm the second letter. Hey, that's not fair. So for the fact that we don't see the Hay complaining, we see that it's okay to add another row in front and for you to be in the second row. And from here he learns, Valimun Muzel Derech HaMusar, in 5b Rav Kof. Menchikol Echad Yesh Lo Mekomo Tafkido V'Tachlito Ba'Olam. Everyone has their place in this world. Vein Shum Adam Yechol Afriyo. And no one can displace you, so to speak. Vein Echad Nogei B'Vash Mucham L'Chaviro K'Molo Neima. And nobody touches what somebody else's hat. What difference does it make that someone else is going to be sitting in the row in front of you? You're sitting where you're supposed to be sitting, and in no way has it affected your seat in terms of this is still the very place where you are sitting. The hay is where it needs to be. No complaint. If the yod is placed in front of it, that's where the yod needs to be. And I'm ready to accept that. It's a very deep idea how you can learn from a medrash an interesting way how to utilize it to resolve a dispute. This is the fascinating aspect of Torah literature. So this is idea number one, Yehoshua bin Nun. Idea number 1b, or idea number 2, is that you have to be happy in your place. The Hay didn't complain. It knew that this is exactly where it belonged. obviously the Yod was complaining because it was displaced completely. That's a whole different story than just being shifted. Okay, having said that, now let's begin our first of our three levels that Emir Hashem we're going to look at today. The first is going to be the most esoteric, then we're going to come down, literally, all the way to the ground. The Tali Chaim, source 6, our first answer. Mikan anu chasim leparshah shalanu chet hamaretli. The Arizal explains to us that the door of the Midbar is characterized by the door of Haras Leah. We've also touched upon these ideas in the past, so we'll go through them, albeit a little bit more quickly. There are two aspects in this world that Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are compared to. These are Kabbalistic ideas. There's the idea of Leah Imenu, which is the Alma Deed Kasia, the concealed world, the higher world. As Rav Dessler teaches us, that Leah Imenu corresponds to the name Yisrael, the higher name, and indeed, the Arizal says that Leah Imenu is on a higher place, whatever this may mean, than even Rachel Imenu. And Rachel Imenu is known as the Alma Diskalia, the revealed world. It's the world that we can apprehend, it's the world that we can relate to, and this is the world of Rachel Imenu. And that's why there's a Tikkun Rachel, and there's a Tikkun Leah, Tikkun Leah. Tikkun Rachel is a Tikkun Chatzot. Tikkun Leah, we say on Shabbos and Yantif, it's praises to Hashem. It's in a place that can never be destroyed. It's the highest connection to God. So the Arizal says the door HaMidbar was the door of the Haras of Leah, was the aspect of Leah Imenu. Dor shinyano atara lukut kefishu mivromim. It was like living in a different plane. It was living in the plane of heaven. Lador HaMidbar lo yashu magai ma'alom hazeh. They really no contact with this physical world. They ate from the man. They ate from the be'er. They had the anei kavod surrounding them. Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tachrishon. Hashem fights for them and they are silent. They have miracles happening all around them. They were in a different dimension completely. It was a dimension of like Chet Adam HaRishon, before the sin. And this is why, when Klal Yisrael got the Torah, they were returned to the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. This is a higher pristine level, the Alma Deed Kasia, the concealed world, the perfected world. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally wanted in 11 days to go through Har Seir, to knock out Amalek and go into Eretz Yisrael, and that would have been the end of history as we would have known it. And then we had the Chet HaEgel, which was saying that the world isn't yet ready to be able to be on this level. We're very much down here on our world. It's interesting, he notes, that of the two spies that found favorable reports about Eretz Yisrael, one was from B'nai Leah, that was Kalev ben Yefuneh, who was from Shevet Yehuda, and one was from Yoshua, from Ephraim, from Rachel. Each one represented a dimension of these two personalities. It was almost like Kalev and Yoshua needed to be together to join this linkage of B'nai Rachel and B'nai Leah being united together. Now, the challenge, and this is based on the Belzer Rebbe, the challenge that Klal Yisrael had was because they were on a level of B'nai Leah, on that higher level, it was difficult for them to imagine what it would be like to be down here on earth serving Hashem. Let's take a look in the Shvilei Pinchas, Rav Pinchas Friedman. Again, this is Bel's Torah. The spies were the opinion that the only place that they could occupy themselves with Torah study and properly serve Hashem was in the desert wilderness, due to the provision of daily man from heaven. They did not need to concern themselves with matters of this world, right? They had their clothes ironed, washed, they had all their needs taken care of. And Eretz Yisrael, however, the man would cease to fall. They would have to work their fields and vineyards and occupy themselves with earthly pursuits. This would surely interfere with their Torah study and service of Hashem. Thus, they attempted to prevent Yisrael from entering Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the spies erred in their judgment. What Hashem truly desires is that we occupy ourselves with worldly pursuits while dedicating all of our efforts to sanctifying and serving only Hashem. The simple proof of the matter is the way we were created. First, we were created as a physical body, right? The afar min adama. And then Hashem breathed into us, vayipaf papaf, right? He breathed into us a nishmas ruach elokim, a godly spirit. Because Hashem really wants the combination of the physical and the spiritual. Look at the bracha that we give to a child. Kishem shenichnas labrit, kein yikanes l'torah. The Torah is the world of the spiritual. L'chuppah, to get married, which is very much in the physical world. L'maisim tovim, in the physical world. And that's really the integration of the two. And that's what we have to aim for. And this is indeed a very famous pasuk, Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad, ki b'ka Hashem sur alami. Trust in Hashem forever, for in ka Hashem is the strength of the world. And the Gemara teaches us that the world was created with the letters, again, a conceptual Kabbalistic idea to understand with the letters Yud and the letter He, the letter Yud. The next world was created, the future world was created, that is the world to come, that is the higher world, and the letter He is this world. And our job is we must strive to align these two worlds, this world with the world to come. And this is accomplished by always having a mind that whatever we do in this world is devoted solely to the purpose of serving Hashem. Now we can appreciate a little bit more deeply the dynamics with Yehoshua and with adding the letter Yud to his name. If we continue now in the Shemin HaTov of Weinberger in source number 10, he notes, again quoting from this idea of the Belzer Rebbe, and adds a little bit of a few interesting dimensions. He says, the Inyan Chedim Raglim Haya Dilaratzula Volar Tisrael Ki Abdu Matzavam Haramao Madregatamin Skavashim Bamidbar. Why did they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? For very, very altruistic reasons. They felt this was the best environment to serve Hashem. Shesham Ochli Man, you eat the man, Vishotimi Be'erishal Miriam, and you're living on the Yad Ne'akavot. And in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be involved in physicality. When you're involved in physicality, it's very hard to stay connected to that spiritual world. Let's just stay in the spiritual bubble, be able to serve Hashem, and that's the world in its perfection. And this was very difficult for them. V'lachem, source 11, Pireshet Tfasemes, this is Gevaldik, that you see that right after, in our parsha, that right after the Chedah and the Raglim, we have three mitzvahs back to back. The mitzvah of Challah, the mitzvah of Nesachim, libations of wine, and the mitzvah of Tzitzit. And as Tfasemes points out, those three mitzvahs are the way that we can have a parallel to these three dimensions, the man, the be'er, and the anei kavod in Eretz Yisrael. The challah is in place of the man. And we're able to sanctify the physical food that we eat. The nesachim, the wine libation, and the water libation is parallel to the water, that we can able to take water, simchas beis ha'shoeva, and pour it on the mizbeach, able to take liquid wine, sanctify it. And tzitzis is the anei kavod. But a person wears tzitzis, when someone sees tzitzis, you should feel like you're surrounded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence at all times. And that's why that Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, instead of adding an Aleph Lamed to the end of Hoshea's name, added the Yud in front of it. Yud Kei, that he wanted Yehoshua, who already had the idea of the Hey, of the Ka, of the Olam Hazeh, he wanted him now to have the dimension of the Yud as well. And this is the goal that we need to have, to be able to bring the physicality, v'lavo b'tzarchei haguf, v'lalo l'neshama, as we say by Challah, v'haya b'olchechem elechem aris, tarimu truma l'Hashem. When you eat of the bread of the land, you bring it as a truma, as a gift to Hashem. And indeed, someone just recently showed me that there are tefillahs to say. It's classic that there are tefillahs to say, you know, at every level of preparation of the food, of the challah. You know, you pour in the oil and the sugar and the eggs, whatever you put in. But there are also tefillahs to say not only when you need the challah, when you put it in the oven, when you let it rise. It's, again, being able to infuse in physicality spirituality. I might have mentioned this story, otherwise I'll share it again just very briefly. I had this is a small story. I had this very recently with my daughter when I asked her to buy a jar of fish, and she said, why are you buying a jar of fish and not the loaf of fish? And I said, well, it's just much easier. And, you know, who's going to eat a whole loaf? And I said, you like the loaf better? She said, it's not a question of liking it better. When you put the loaf in the oven, you're saying, L'chvot Shabbos Kodesh. You're investing more than just opening the can and saying, L'chvot Shabbos Kodesh. This is the idea of being able to invest in the physical, the spiritual. Now let's get back to, and this, just to finish up the Shemin HaTov before we go back to Talei Chaim in Source 12, he says, this is the idea of the Etzat HaMeraglim was to separate these two letters. Let's live on the level of the Yud. Let's live on the level of the spirituality. By adding the letter Yud to the letter He, what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him is that you already have the He, you already have the physical world. Now I want you to understand, in this physical world that you're about to bring Klal Yisrael into eventually, you have to infuse it with the Yud. You have to bring the Yud element, the Yud He, the Yud element, into the physical world. And that's indeed, just to add this parenthetically, the end of 12, the idea that famous, you know, Dvar Torah at Sheva Brachos, the same, the letters that are the same between a man and a woman are the Aleph and the Shin, the Aish. The man has the letter Yod added, that's different, and the woman has the letter He, Ish and Isha, right? Together, Yod Ke, they form Hashem's name. The man brings the Yud, he brings the spiritual aspect. The woman is able, we'll talk more about this today, Mir Tashem, to take it into the physical world. And together, they're able to infuse the spiritual and the physical together and then bring the Shekhinah down, because that's the goal. The goal is to have the fusion between the Yud and the He, that perfected balance. Now, let's bring this back to Sarei Menu, and I'd like to bring it back in two different dimensions. Similar, but different. So notes the Tali Chaim in the Chavan, source 13. We know that Chazal say Avraham Avinu and Sarei Menu should have had the Yud Bet Shvatim. On the Pasuk, Asher Padan Avraham, that Yaakov Avinu redeemed Avraham, that he took him away from the Sargi Dabanim, the problem of raising such a large family, and he had this instead. Now, with this in mind, we know that not only is the Yud of Sarei Menu divided between Avraham and Sarah, that he had a hay and she had a hay, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but rather the two hays, the Yud divided into two, right? The Yud is the letter 10, hay is the letter 5. So we take the Yud and I divide it. The Yud is really divided, the Sfarim say, between Nitpasel L'Shtayim, into two aspects, to Rachel's personality and to Leah's personality. That Sarei Menu Kivyachol gave over, not that they're going to be raising the 12 tribes, even though they didn't have all of them, they raised them, that they are going to be able to take over an element of the hay from Sarah, an element of Sarei Menu is going to go into Leah, and an element of Sarei Menu is going to go into Rachel. And this is the idea, he says, that Avraham Avinu and Sarei Menu weren't able to have the Shvatim because they were on a too high a level. They were on a level of beyond this world, and nobody was going to be able to handle this. Kidei shi'chlu lo lidhim tzrichim l'reda dargah l'olam hazeh. They would have to come down to this world, and that's why Hashem brought Sarai down into this physical world, the He in Avraham and the He in Sarah. But then the Yod said, that's very nice that you took half of me and gave me to Avraham and half of me to Sarah. Half of me you gave to Rachel and half to Leah, but I'm still in outer space. I'm not landing anywhere as the letter Yod. Now the Yod of Yeshua comes. The Yod of Yeshua, the Yod being the letter of pure spirituality, says, you know what? I'm going to link you with Yoshua. Why? Now this all comes together. Because Yoshua is Mibnei Banan Shel Rachel. Yoshua is the Olam of Alma de Isgalia, the concealed world. It's the world of Eretz Yisrael. It's the world of physicality. In order for Yoshua to be able to be a leader in this land, in order for Yoshua to bring the Dor HaMidbar, even the next generation, into this land, he needs to be able to have some connection to this land, to these people, to the door of the Midbar, the door of Bnei Banas Shaleah. He has to have some connection with this spiritual group, and he needs to have some connection with this idea of spirituality in order to teach the people of what the goal of Eretz Yisrael is. So this Yud of spirituality, which was such a high level that Avraham and Sarah couldn't have a child on this level, and they had to come down to the levels of hay. This level of pristine spirituality is dafka given to Yeshua, because he has the ultimate ability to be able to join these forces of bringing that generation, the generation of Leah, that pristine generation of the Yud, into Eretz Yisrael, the hay of his name, and in Eretz Yisrael itself to be the role model of how to integrate both. So why is Dafka Yoshua the one given this letter Yod? Because he is the perfect one for this job of integration. And it's no accident that, listen to this, what he says, is that the first thing Yoshua does when he comes into Eretz Yisrael is to do what? To give the people a bris milah. It is sanctifying the physical. The door of the generation of the Midbar never had a bris milah. They were at a level they didn't need to sanctify the physical. They were in a whole different dimension. Yoshua understands that as soon as we enter the land, we need to make a bris, we need to make a covenant in a physical way with the bodies, with understanding of our commitment to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was the Yud of Sarai, the Yud of pure spirituality that was given over to Yoshua. Let's just add one more Nakuda. I know I'm way up there in heaven, and I'm going to come down. And again, before I just add this one more Nakuda up in heaven, this is our challenge, Source 16. V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Let all your deeds be for the sake of heaven. Rabbunim ethics from Sinai. We know that Judaism does not outlaw or prohibit the physical pleasures of life, eating, drinking, marriage, or all integral parts of the total life of the Jew. How can they become an integral part of our spiritual life? Let all your deeds be for the sake of heaven. Endow these activities with the right intentions, with the proper purpose. Why should we eat? To keep the body healthy. Why do we need a healthy body? So that our minds may be healthy, that we be mentally and physically able to observe the mitzvot, and to be complete Jews. This is the essence of Judaism. V'chol drachecha tayu. Bar Kafir says, in all your ways know Hashem. This is the essence of what Judaism is about. That's the essence of the name of Yeshua, to be able to integrate the physical and the spiritual together. Again, let's just add one more Nakuda on this, which we saw many years ago. L'machar Atir in Source 14. Rav Moshe Breslover, this is in Parashas Lech Lecha, when the name originally is changed. He says, when Avraham Avinu needed a change of name, he needed it for two reasons. One is, he had the obligation to have a child. That was his spiritual obligation, and he needed to have a child. So he had a chisaron. He had something missing, both physically and spiritually. Sarai Menu doesn't have a chiyuv. A woman doesn't have an obligation to have children. So what was only missing from her was a physical aspect. And that's why, when he is given the hay, Avram, in his name, he's being elevated both spiritually and physically. When she is given change from the yud to the hay, her whole dimension is changed. From being a totally spiritual being, she now enters into the realm of being more connected to the physical world. And that is why he says in 15 in Squiddly, Sarai terem nitra pa'ah, before Sarai Menu was able to have a child, dafka as haita mushlama bechina ruchanit, to a certain degree she was perfected on a spiritual level. Lo ayula mechuyavit l'chayel l'maseh, she didn't need to do much in the physical world. Kula l'kut, she was completely dedicated to God. Sarai, sar hayud. You know what Sarai means? A sar, it's an officer. She was the officer of the yud. Sarat haruchaniyut, she was the master of spirituality. Mushlamet bekoach haneviyut, she's one of the neviyot, one of the prophetess. Kishenitam bekoach hatolada nigramala yirida ruchani. When she was given the ability to have a child, she came down from that high spiritual level. She's no longer just that male imagery, which is just living in a spiritual dimension. Now she has to be very much involved in the physical dimension, taking care of a child, taking care of the needs. It's much more down in the physical world. With this, we can appreciate, he says, perhaps in 17, that when the angels in the beginning of Parshas Vayera come to Avram's house, and they say to him in the bracket, Aye Sarah Ishtecha, where is Sarah, your wife? Aye means, where is the Yud that has been changed to the Hay? We expect her now to be serving us. We expect her now to move from that level of the Yud, that level of the high spirituality, and be moved into the level of the Hay. Because she's already called Sarah, Heichani. And Aravinu answers, Hine ba'ohel. She's in the tent. What ohel? Ba'ohel li'ohel atara. She's sitting and learning all day. She's sitting in contemplation of godliness all day. She's in a spiritual dimension. She was involved in Kedusha, Esek HaTorah, Begilui Ruach HaKodesh. That's Ha'ola Sarimo. That's why the Anan is on her tent, just like the Anan, the base of Mikdash. And there was a Ner Doluk in her tent, a lamp that was in her tent, just like in the base of Mikdash. It was a Bracha La'isa, a blessing on her bread, just like the Lechem upon him. The 12 loaves of bread in the base of Mikdash, she was living in a mini Mishka. And that's why her only job in Hachdasar Orchim was Lushi Vastiyu Goat. Her only job was Safrachot Challah. So once she, you know, did the bread, that was it. She'd go back to her tent. So now we understand in the asterisks, but Zekam Yuvan Madua Hayuchin Garmal Tafkida Eitzel Saranim Sarala Yoshua Sharei Alav Nemar Layamish Mitocha Ohel Avrah Hayud Mi Ohel Sara. La'ol al tarao toei mi Joshua beyod hayud al shmo shuv lo yamish bitocha ohel. Sari Menu, when she was on the level of Yud, on that dimension, it's a dimension of the Olam Haba, it's a dimension of B'nai Leah, right? That's the dimension she gave to Leah. Part of the Yud went into that dimension, and part went into the physical dimension. When she gave over that dimension, when she lost, so to speak, that dimension of pure spirituality by being able to have a child. So she left, so to speak, that spiritual world and entered into the world which was the world that of motherhood, the world of a woman. So now the Yod complained and said, I was in such a high spiritual place. What happened to me? To which Hashem answered, you were originally by the Ohel of Sarah. Now I'm going to put you also in the Ohel. But now it's going to be in the Ohel of Moshe Rabbeinu. And by Yoshua, you have this language. Lo yamush mitocha ohel. He never left from the ohel, from that same tent. And now, my friends, we could even add on this another nekuda. It goes even deeper. How do Chazal understand, our rabbis understand Yoshua's job in the ohel of Moshe? It wasn't that he was a teacher. Chazal described it that he would arrange the benches. He was very much involved in the physical world, in the hay dimension. That was the first letter of its name, Hoshea. He was involved in the physical, you know, setting up all the chairs and making sure everyone, I don't know if they had chairs in the midbar, but you got the idea. Making sure everybody had the mats to sit on and everything was clean. And the Yud dimension is saying that not only is your job going to be the physical Shamesh, you're going to be the next Rosh Yeshiva. It adds a more of a spiritual dimension to his life. And this is the dimension of the Yisrusa de la'ela, the awakening of above, that meets the Yisrusa de la tata, the awakening of below, that enables Yoshua to be able to be successful as a Talmid Mufak and as a future leader. Okay, my friends, that was our workout for today. Now we're a little bit more in easy street. Idea number one. What was this, the Yud of Sarai about? The Yud of Sarai is she was a Sar HaYud. She was the master of the letter Yud, of total spirituality. That total spirituality needed to dafka be added to the Hay of Hoshea in order to have him integrate that in the world of the yeshiva. Not only fixing the benches, but also, obviously he was learning beforehand, but to inspire him to even a higher level, and more particularly to be able to allow him to bridge the generation of the desert, which was the generation of the Yod, into the generation entering Eretz Yisrael, which is letter of Hay, to be able to integrate in Eretz Yisrael itself the Yud and the Hay together. That was the gift of Sarai Imenu, the master of the Yud, the master of spirituality, to be able to integrate it into the letter he already had, the Hay, Kibaka Hashem, Soralami. That was level one. Level two. And we'll see that level two is very similar to level one. Source 18, Rav Kof and Mishchat Shemen. And he says, V'ani Rebezeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sent Yoshua to search out the land, he really was preparing him to be the manhig, to be the leader that would eventually, you know, lead the Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Now, why did he need this letter Yud of Sarah? So we know in 19, Rashi, when it says, Lo tikra shma Sarai ki Sarah shma, her name now is Sarah, Upeirish Rashi, Lo tikra shma Sarai, Dimashma Sarai li velo lacherim. Ki Sarah stam shma, shitei Sarah alko. Rashi notes that Sarai meant that she was just a leader over herself. It was very narrow. Now, when she is Sarah, she is now a princess over everybody. The Yud makes it personal. HaSefer Shali is Sifri. It's my Sefer. Right? But now, it's a much more general, all-encompassing type of rulership. V'aremes b'zel derech avoda, on a deeper level, notes Rav Kaufman, perhaps Rashi is alluding to the following. Shemitchilai ta'asarei shaletet rak al otzma bilvad val mishkal omram sadikim libam hirshuta. Originally, Sari Menu was very much in control of her own self. Once she was able to have perfect self-control, that everything she thought and did was only for the sake of heaven, without any personal agenda, then she got to a higher level to be Sarah, that she's able to now rule over the whole world. So this is really very different on this level than the first level, that the way we understood it as she went down from the Yud to the Hay, that's more of a Kabbalistic idea. On this level, moving from the Yud to the Hay is going up in stature, that beforehand you were very particularistic, and now you're more universalistic, that originally you just were able to have self-control, now you're able to control your environment as well. And with this, he was trying to teach Yehoshua a lesson by giving him this letter Yud. Kidei she'oman rimenu derech yishara, she'kemo shelo altav sara imenu ligedula, at she'zachta liyo mushalet al otzma shoto muklat. The Yud represents her personal ability to have self-control, to be able to elevate everything for Hashem before she could go out and be this universal leader. You, Yehoshua, take that Yud and know that you first and foremost to be a leader have to be able to have control of self. Kachalav l'rop b'shazu shomei l'alot l'dula l'anhiget adat son Yisrael k'doshim hinei chovatohu l'achoz b'avodah rabah liyot sar u'manhig al ma'asav shelo v'yishlot al atzmo shlita gmura mukhletet l'lo shum dofi. Yehoshua, before I can make you a leader and go out there, you first have to learn the lesson of the Yud, the Sarai, to be a master over yourself. And we know in 20 that one of the challenges, as far as say, that the Meraglim had, was Shalosh Shiltu Ol Atzmam Lit'alot Me'al Negiyoteim Ha'ishiyot, that they weren't able, the other Meraglim, to go beyond their personal agendas. And indeed, we know the Sichos Musar points out in 22, that these were great men, these were Anashim, these were high men. What happened? So Masil Shisharim, the asterisks in 22 point out, it was their craving for honor, which according to Chazal caused the spies to slander the land of Israel, and thereby to bring the death penalty upon themselves and upon their entire generation. For they were afraid they'd be deprived of their rank upon entering the land of Israel, and that others would be appointed in their stead. And the Sfarim point out, what was, this is the Balaturim, what was their rank? They were Sarah Hamishi. They were in charge of 50 people. I mean, like, even for that, kavod is something, you know, absolute honor can destroy a person, absolutely. This is what went wrong. The Meraglim, when they went, there's other spies, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, their personal nekiya, their personal agenda, that they're going to lose their honor and position, you know, created this distortion of how they spoke about Eretz Yisrael. And it was really coming from Nikia Atzmi, from a personal agenda. By putting the letter Yud on Yehoshua's name, what he's saying is you have to be absolutely clear what's coming from you, what's coming outside of you, and be able to have this neutrality in order to serve the people. Shanigiya Ishit Shiratzuli Sheir Bamdam Kinisayaam, says the Zohar in 21, Hevi Ramal Datam Valdat Konam, made them say things that were absolutely crazy. You see this later on. The classic example in 23 and 24 is Yeravam ben Nevat, who was one of the greatest Gedolei Yisrael, the Talmid of Achia Shiloni, who was Miyote Mitzrayim, one of the greatest, really, of Klai Yisrael. He was a Talmid Mufak of Achia. What happened to Yeravam? Power. He was afraid to go up to Beis HaMikdash, Rechava would be standing, he was a melech from Yehuda, he'd be sitting, he would lose his position. It was all about power. And one of the most beautiful Sichos Musars around, in my humble opinion, is the Vort, where Chazal say that at toward the end of Yevraham's life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him, right? He like grabs him by the collar, and he says to him, Chazor Becha, do tshuva. How many people have Hashem like come down and say to you, hello? And he says, Ani v'ata uven yishai nitayel b'gan Eden. You, I, you, God is obviously first, and you, and then Ben Yishai, David HaMelech, are going to walk in Gan Eden together. Can you imagine? I mean, what an offer! And then Yerovam asks, Mi Barosh, who's going to be in front? To which Hashem answers, Ben Yishai Barosh, Ben Yishai will be walking in front of you. Then he says, I'm not interested. And that was the end of Yerovam. He's a Chote Machte Tarabi. Notes the Stichus Musar the following word in the Gemara. Listen to the language of the Gemara. Hashem says, Ani Vatal Ben Yishai. Hashem put him first. Why does he ask Mi Barosh who's going to be first? Hashem tells him he's going to be first. He wanted to hear it again. Ha, that felt so good. Again, tell me, who's going to be first? At that point, Hashem says, Ben Yishai is going to be first. The honor so destroyed him. And this is the failing of the human condition, that we are so caught up in our own ego, right? Ego, standing for easing God out, in our own self, that it's hard for us to have the clarity. 25, it's not only the manhigim, the leaders, Elakol Ish Yisrael Basher who made Mutelet Alav Chova B'Zchut. Every person has to realize their great position in this world, and don't allow the actions you do based on what you feel and physical things, and try to be able as much as possible to do things along the lines of Dat Torah, to do things along the lines, to be able to have the sense of what is correct and what is not correct. And the Manachayim Ramas Yisrael Solomon explicitly says this in his Mamorim, where he says in 27, when Moshe Rabbeinu later on in Parashas Pinchas is looking for a leader, and he's looking for Isha Lokeh Rucho Lecho Basar, a leader who's going to be able to understand everybody, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, take Yehoshua Bin Nun, who is a person, he says, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, has a spirit in him. Note the Saba Minar Vaduk, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, that's all you need. And listen to his language. Ein Atayo De'et HaSod, you don't know the secret. You want to know who a leader is? HaSodi Ish Asher Ruach Bo. You don't need Rucho Lecho Basar, you don't need to understand everybody first and foremost. The Hainu Ruach Bo, Sheishwa Ruach Liyot Manhik Al Atzmo. First and foremost, you have to be a leader over yourself. Ubodek et atzmo, double underlined by the asterisk. Umoshev v'sholed al atzmo v'midotav, to have this aspect of self-control. Someone who has this aspect of self-control, he can be the manhik over the tzibur. This is the gift that Yeshua is giving him now. In the Shari Derech, Rav Freiman notes, he says, in 29 in the Dat, Anashim gdolim hayu el shasu asmam ksilim. The way that our rabbis understand the spies, they were great people who made themselves into fools. He says, Zot habreira homede bifnei kol adam. This is a choice in front of all of us. Kol achad lufi erkohu, every person where they are at. Mitzad achad kol achad v'achad yesh lo b'chinan ashing dolim hayu. Every one of us has greatness. We all have great aspects to us. And we also have, without working on ourselves, who alula pech look silver tipesh, you can also be a fool. Hamabed elamo beavdenu sochev gamasovimoto, that you can destroy yourself and those around you. And it's all about being able to step outside of self and asking yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is drawing me? What is the impetus? And Le'av the Chaba Emes, Rav Dov Yafet notes in 30, he says in the second paragraph, people who run after kavod sometimes do crazy things for crazy reasons. The example he gives is people who change their furniture every few years, remodel their kitchen. When I'm not talking about people who aren't, you know, able to function, and their couches are falling apart. I'm talking about where everything's in perfect shape. Why? Because, you know, the Schwartzes did this, and I have to go on vacation because they did, and you're working so hard in order to pay for what? We can't have a wedding in such a place. I'd rather go into debt, because what will people say? This is mishugas, and it all comes from this idea of kavod, how am I going to look in the eyes of other people? If you're going to be able to step back and say, this is what I can afford, and I can do this nicely in a nice budget. I can, you know, rent the flowers or wherever, cut back in whatever way it is. I'm having 17 dishes. 14 is enough. What, you understand? When you're able to do that, you're able to say, you know what? It's not about the way I'm going to appear to others. It's going to be able, I am able to stand firm in who and what I am. Rabosai Ezu Gibor HaKovesh et Yitzro. That's the Gvura. That's the strength that Klal Yisrael are known for. That's the Yud of Yoshua. That's the Yud of Sarai, the master of the Yud. The master of the one who understands self, who understands where is this coming from. It's coming from societal pressure. Do I have to give in to all societal pressure? I have to change everything just because of what people are going to say? Can I be comfortable in my own skin? Can I be comfortable in my own self? And the way to do this, the sefer I mentioned last week, which we're in Mirza Shemi using a lot of, Chovat Adam V'Olamo, a Talmud of Rameir Chodesh, Shatzal 31a, Lamadu ki shlita atzmi mashmuta shlatana sechel al ratzon. To have this self-control is about putting your mind over your heart. And kol pam shadam yitzlich litgaber al tavatav, yicholet hashlita atzmait shelo tigaber. And we have to build on our successes. When I don't eat that chocolate cake, when I don't say that, I say, you know, I have the ability to have self-control. When I don't do what everyone else is doing, hey, you know what? I don't have to go with the flow. When you're able to stand up for yourself and have that sense of self and that sense of ownership of self and be able to have that clarity of self, one success builds on the other. And he says, this is in fact, the asterisk in 31b, what the halacha is about, is our ability lehitapek. At Shabbos, I ask myself before I do something, is this muksa or not? Am I able to take a pile, a book from the bottom of the pile, is that bori or not? When I stop, and that's what so much of halacha is about, when I stop and I think, what bracha do I say? When I stop and I look at a strawberry and I say, oh no, I can't eat a strawberry this way. You know, I have to cut off the stem, and then I have to check to make sure there's no hole in the strawberry. And if there's no hole, then I have to soak it, and then I have to wash it, and then I have to soak it. And then I say, forget it, forget the strawberries. This is too complicated to eat strawberry. But whatever you do, at least you're thinking about it. You're thinking about what is the appropriate recourse. That is the idea of Shlita Atzmi. And that's what we have to be able, and that's the yud in front of us. That's what we have to be able to integrate within ourselves. You know, in 32, he tells a great insight. He says there was once a person learning to become a balagala, to learning to become a chariot person, a horseman. And in his final test, the elder horseman asked him a question. He says, what happened if it's a rainy day and there's mud outside, and you get stuck in the mud? What are you going to do? He says, well, I'll go to the city, I'll pull another group of horses, and I'll pull myself out. Let's say there are no horses. Okay? I'll get some people to help me pull us out. No people. Okay? I'll take some, you know, planks of wood. I'll put it under the carriage, and I'll pull myself out. No planks. So he gives him all these suggestions, and the guy's knocking them. He says, okay, what would you do? And the elder horseman said, if I know it's a rainy and muddy day, I would never go out and put myself in a situation I can't get out of. And that is really the depth of what Shlita Atzmi is. I know my limitations, I know my abilities, and I don't put myself in a place, an exile, that I know I can't withstand. I don't, if I'm on a diet, I don't go into a bakery with a lot of money without eating the whole morning. It just doesn't work. Lowly Danish Sayyid. And this, just to round out this second level, the Megid Yosef points out the following at 33. He says, Hareshayud b'sarayhi l'umatah b'ovad b'od shekol olam adayin negda. He oveded Hashem yachad im b'nei beitah b'od shekol olam kulo oved avaro zarah. V'ayud hi shemarel akoach l'amod k'neged ha'olam v'loli sachef b'zerem. What was the Yud about? Sarai is the ability to be able to withstand all the negative pressures. Ivri, everyone is on one side and you are on another. She was able, with her small family, that when everyone is worshipping Avodah Zarah, and there's no monotheism in the world, she is about, the Yod is about the Koach Lamod Keneged Hazerim, not to be caught into the flow of everyone else. And this, it was the Koach that he's giving Yoshua. Have self-control, have the ability to stand against all peer pressure. Know who you are, know what you're about, and be able to withstand. And indeed, Rav Sachs of Menachem Zion echoes this idea when he says, Sarah Yifkina owes Ruach, Ometz Lev, Al-Chatan Yechusha. Sarah Imenu represents somebody who is very strong in saying that my son will not inherit with this Ben Hama. She's the idea of knowing when to separate. What's a bad influence? That Nekuta, that Yud, that representation of mastery, of knowing this is okay for me, this is not okay for me, to be able to stand up to self, have that self-control, that was the gift of the Yud of Sarai given to Yoshua. Which leads us, my friends, to our third and final level. Rav Nissen Alpert, Menachem Sion, echoes this in 35 as well, where he says, the connection between Yoshua and Sarah was hardly incidental. I would like to homiletically suggest that it would not have been possible for Yoshua to transfer Israel to Jewish people without first having internalized certain Hashkafas, outlooks, and values of our matriarch Sarah. In fact, these were Hashkafas specific to Sarah, but not to Abraham. While I refer to Sarah's unequivocal and clear belief that Eretz Yisrael is ours, and no other individual nation has any portion in it whatsoever, in the Dat Sarah demanded, cast out that servant woman and her son, for the son of that servant shall not share in the inheritance with my son Yitzchak. She was saying that neither Yishmael nor his descendants have any portion whatsoever in Eretz Yisrael, nothing, not a single dunam from one border to another. Yeshua was chosen by Hashem to lead the Jewish people to conquer Eretz Yisrael, received part of his name from Sarah precisely, so that he should not forget her plea to Abraham, that Shmuel be expelled, and not receive, double underline, any inheritance in the land. The Torah continues that Hashem judged Sarah to be correct. Abraham was told, Kol Shetamar Lecha Sarah, Shema Bekola, all that Sarah tells you, listen to her. Just as it was then, so it must be today. Let's be determined to have full faith. Just like Sarah, there Eretz Yisrael is an absolute entity, is ours, and ours alone. The descendants of Yishmael have no right to any part of it. And this is why, indeed, in 36, he notes that Benot Slavchad, the daughters of Slavchad, desired the land. And he says that where did the women? The women didn't die in the Midbar. Only the men, 20 to 60. The women didn't die. In fact, the Kleyukr, the famous, very famous Kleyukr, 38, points out that Shlach Lecha Nashim, send for you men, Shlach Lecha L'datcha, according to your mind. If it were up to me, I would send the women. The women are Mechavos Haaretz. The land is very beloved to them. Where did the women get this love of Eretz Yisrael from? Notes the Menachem Sion, Rav Sachs, from Sarah Imenu, who is so unequivocal that no one will have a part of this land except her son Yitzchak, the Jewish people. I'd like to end with a deeper understanding of why women have, as our final idea, such a connection to Eretz Yisrael, what a woman's role is, and I think it will round out what our study is about and really tie the entire shiur together. Rick Shalev, Rabbi Nissel, he says when you want to learn something, this idea of Reb Sadok, you look at it for the first time. So you want to know the male-female relationship, you look at the first male and female relationship. And it's before Adam and Chava, it's in the first pasuk. Gracious Bar Elohim et HaShemayim et HaAretz. God created the heavens, which is a male aspect, and the Aretz, the physically female aspect. 39. In the beginning, Hashem created the male force and the female force. The male force is the role of the Shemayim. It has an effect on the earth by sending down rain. The female force is the force. The female force is the role of Aretz. It receives the rain, absorbing into itself, thus nurturing and nourishing the seeds that have been planted into it. After a hidden internal process has been completed from inside of it, it produces life. The Shemayim-Aretz relationship mirrors the male-female relationship on many levels. In the pristine world, a man alone is unable to create spiritual goodness that will last. Just as rain without the earth to absorb it is wasted, so that man's efforts can go to waste, even worse, be perverted and distorted. The female is the Adama that absorbs the rain, providing a home for its Ashma, ensuring it is sustainable in its pure form. And that's why it goes on in 40 that Avraham Avinu represents Chesed. But Chesed can be distorted. Kindness can be, like you see, Ashma. You can love the wrong people. You can love a lot of things. You can distort goodness in a bad way. What did Tzareimenu do? She had to ensure, 41, that it would be passed on to future generations in a pure form. She had the clarity of vision to see Yishmael as a threat to the purity of Avram's chesed, and the courage to remove him from Avram's health. With this difficult act, Tzareimenu ensured that Avram's spiritual creation would flourish and have continuity. And you see this, in fact, in the name. Av is a father, inspired desire, a burst of unbridled energy. Ima, aim. Whoa, if, not so fast. Let's give this release power an earthly home. It can be transformed into something sturdy and lasting. A woman is created in the role of Adama. On a deeper level, Adama defines her very nature. The word Adama is a feminine form of Ada, meaning man. Adama defines both her inner nature and the essence of her mission in this world. It's interesting to note that women have a special love for Eretz Yisrael. Because they cherished the lamb, they weren't part of the sin of the spies. The special connection between women and the land of Israel reflects their essence as Adama. They instinctively understand that inherent sanctity contained in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. They have this connection. So now if we draw everything together in the end with one story, Ritz Hashem, the role on the third level, that what was the Yud of Sarai about? It wasn't so much a letter Yud, it was the personality of Tzareimenu that was enabled to ensure that Yeshua would understand that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. The Chavivus of Eretz Yisrael, the love of Eretz Yisrael. And really, she's not only, or Moshe Rabbeinu, but giving the letter Yud, is not only giving over this unequivocal understanding that it belongs to us and to no other, but much deeper, she's giving him the whole idea of Adama, the whole idea of earth and the feminine role, which is the role of receiving. In order to be able to be a leader, you have to be able to understand that your role is both to give as well as to listen, to receive, to be able to have the ability to take that ground and to be able to make something of it. On the first level, to take that ground and to integrate the physical and the spiritual together. The physical ground of Eretz Yisrael elevated to Hashem. On the second level, to take that ground, which is a model of us, Adam, and be able to make sure that we are able to have what comes from us in a refined way. That not everything we want to say, we say. That's an unbridled energy. To be a leader, you need to have that woman quality of earth. So that, yes, you want to make this. A president comes to mind. I can't think of who, but maybe you know his name. Okay, I'm being facetious here. To say everything that comes to your mind, that's not leadership. Leadership is being able to stop, evaluate. Am I in control? To have the Av and the Ein together, to have that feminine quality, so to speak, to be a good leader, that's what Yeshua was being given. To be able to have that self-control, to build himself, to be the best person possible. And finally, the love of Eretz Yisrael, the love that women had of Eretz Yisrael, being able to clearly say, I'm not going to be influenced by negative factors, and I'm just going to realize the primacy of what Eretz Yisrael is about. There's a beautiful story that Rabbi Spiro tells of in the late 1800s, when there was a group of people that wanted to go out and start building yeshuvim, start building cities, aside from Yerushalayim, which was like the major, which wasn't so big, center at that time. So they found a piece of land, and they started evaluating it, whether it would be able to be viable to grow, build a city on it. They brought in an expert from France who spent days evaluating the type of soil and this and the agriculture, looking at all the different elements. And before he said he was going to give his final verdict, he says, I just want to go up on top of a mountain. He goes on top of the mountain, he spends 4 hours there. And all he's doing is just standing there. It's like a little bizarre. Okay, he comes down and he meets with the people, the committee, and he says, I'll tell you, originally, when I looked at the tract of land and I looked at all the different elements, I thought that this was going to be a land that indeed you could build a city. But then, as you saw, I waited a few hours on top of the mountain. What was I looking for? A bird. I saw that no birds are passing over this place. How can you build a city that birds don't even want to come to? At which point, many of the people on the committee said, well, if birds aren't even going to come to here, how are we going to have any hope to build a city? And one person got up and said, that's not what Eretz Yisrael is about. Eretz Yisrael is not about logic. Eretz Yisrael is about Mesiras Nefesh. We'll build, and the birds will come. And indeed, they did build. They built a city, an appropriate name of Petach Tikva, the opening of hope, which is now, I believe, the sixth largest city in Eretz Yisrael. And there are plenty of birds there, my friends. And it's an Ira Torah. They understood that if you have the love of Eretz Yisrael, and you have that desire to build, you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to, that love of Eretz Yisrael, that desire, that it's ours, build on it. That's a Yerusha. That is the inheritance that Sari Menu gave over to Yeshua, gave over to her descendants, and that's the inheritance that we have until today, that Eretz Yisrael is so beloved to us, the land, whether we live here, whether we visit here, whether we support it, it's a focus of our whole lives, because this is indeed the gift that Sari Menu and Avraham Avinu were able to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the gift that Sari Menu gave over to the first leader to come into Eretz Yisrael, is conquer this entire land. It's ours. It belongs to us alone. Gareisha Tamah Zofa Benah, chase away this maidservant and her son. This land is ours.